everyone. Welcome to the ANN After Show. My name is Lindsay Loveridge, and I'm the executive editor of Anime News Network. For newcomers, this is the live recording of Anime News Network's weekly podcast. Usually we start each show with banter between myself and my co-host James Beckett, who will be on in a bit. We share the latest anime news topics and then discuss our impressions of the latest episodes of anime of the moment. Recently, that's been Dandadan and Orb. But today's show will be a bit different than what you're used to. As an extension of Anime News Network's editorial department, the After Show has always solely been a reflection of the opinions of its participants only. But today I'll be sharing opinions beyond just myself and James Beckett. In light of the results of the U.S. presidential election, I feel that it is imperative that I reaffirm my personal commitment as the head of ANN's editorial department to a safe place for our viewers and readers, especially those who may be most affected by the hateful and harmful rhetoric coming from the highest station in the country. In the space of last week, I have fielded countless conversations, both within fandom and outside of it, of the very real anxieties my fellow Americans are facing from vastly different backgrounds. This has included business contacts, colleagues, and loved ones who are queer, Jewish, Muslim, first-generation immigrants, disabled, Black, and more. This is why it feels, in this moment, critical that I state plainly that there's no room for hate here, and there is room for you. You belong within the fandom space, the larger community, and at all levels of public discourse and visibility. Yourself and your lived experiences have value, regardless of what public leaders may say or do. There is an increasing concern about public safety simply existing. While I could never assume to know the exact tribulations of each individual, I do understand the delicate balancing act presented between being authentic and being targeted. It can often feel like a mathematical calculation between risk and reward, especially right now. However, while discriminatory rhetoric is on the rise, I feel responsible in setting an example in the limited scope and platform available to me. I have worked as a journalist in this industry in what is approaching 15 years. I have always considered myself an open book and have at various points and in various places shared my perspective informed by my own identity and those close to me. I have on this podcast divulged that I am queer, specifically bisexual. I've likely shared or alluded to that I'm autistic, in case you haven't picked that up from my vocal affect or been in the same room as me for 15 minutes. I've also discussed my status as a survivor of prolonged sexual assault and domestic violence, and in some ways my struggles with mental health, specifically depression. In the time that I've been working in this industry, I have personally experienced harassment, sexual violence charged threats, and gender-based discrimination among numerous less severe but nonetheless uncomfortable microaggressions. While the above information might have little bearing on your life directly, I am just some person, like many others on the internet, sharing opinions on cartoons of all things. I am another patch sewn into this communal quilt. Like yours, my life informs how I treat and care for those around me. My descriptions might first elicit an awkward response. I've often witnessed it in person when I try to be open or vulnerable. It has taught me difficult truths about what a community can be, for better or worse. What I can say, without hesitation, is that a quilt full of holes does not keep anyone warm. The same community that closes doors to the vulnerable, discounts the suffering of its neighbors, and neglects those who are struggling will not last. Hatred has a short shelf life, and rarely is a perpetrator remembered beyond revulsion. The heroes we admire and the stories we look to for inspiration center on those who can provide hope when it feels too treacherous to believe, and exhaustion sets in. Do not let anyone tell you that small acts are meaningless, that charity is weakness, or that caring is pointless. Create art. Call your family and friends. Fundraise. Volunteer. Facilitate access to those who need it most. As ANN's executive editor, I will do what I can to contribute and continue to ensure that there is space for you in this community, as writers and as readers. If you're at a point where you do not know who to call, I've included several phone numbers in this video description that will put you in contact with a live person who is there to help, even if you just need someone to talk to. Thank you for your time. I'll be taking this opportunity to give the floor to other members of the editorial team to share their comments. Next, you'll get to hear from my co-host, James Beckett. But before I sign off, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone, and we'll still be here tomorrow.
Hey, Lindsay, thank you for that. I don't want to go delivering a bunch of vague reassurances or shaky platitudes, because the truth is that I am feeling just as apprehensive as many of you are about where the United States is as a country right now. And I'm just as uncertain about the trials that might be waiting for us ahead. But I don't want to focus on the fear and the anger. Instead, I just wanted to take a little time to reflect on the meaning and the power of what we do here in our community. One of the things I've always loved about working with Anime News Network and getting to interact with so many cool people from all over the world is that we all work so damned hard to create meaningful, substantial, and empathetic dialogue about the art that we all love so much. Yes, we occasionally have some critical words or wisecracks to share about a show or a comic or another thing that we love. But at the end of the day, even the art that makes us grimace and groan is sparking a discussion, creating connections between the people that engage with it. And that is what really matters the most right now. The petulant little intimidation games that Donald Trump and his cronies and their most spiteful supporters trade in are meant to divide and demoralize and dehumanize anyone that they see as an enemy, to make it so that they don't see their opponents as other people like they are, but as convenient scapegoats upon which they can foist all of their fears and direct all of their simple-minded bile. They want to take anyone that doesn't fit into their narrow vision of what is acceptable and strip them of their names, their identities, and their dignities, because it's so much easier to hate someone when you refuse to see any of yourself in them. But when we celebrate all of these silly comics and cartoons, we are connecting with each other across time and space. We're celebrating all of the messy, strange, creative, powerful, heartwarming, heartbreaking, and utterly human stories that give art its meaning. We knock down the barriers of language and geography to laugh together and cry together, to theorize together, reflect together, and yes, sometimes even argue with each other. We shine a spotlight on the works that reflect back to us all of our passions, our hopes, our fears, our pleasures, our pains, and our dreams for the future, and we discover new ways to see the world around us while also finding links to old memories, old friends, and all of the people and the places who would have long since vanished from this earth if not for the stories that keep their voices and their visions alive. So regardless of who you are, where you come from, what you look like, who you love, our connections to each other ensure that nobody can take our stories away from us. They can't take our empathy away from us, and they can't take our humanity away from us. I truly believe that the power we all create together, whether we're marching in the streets in protest, or supporting each other through trying times, or gathering as a community to share our thoughts on the latest cool cartoons from Japan, is what is going to keep us safe and keep us looking forward for however long this all lasts. Stay strong, everyone.
Thanks, James. Thank you, everyone who's here in the comments. I really appreciate all the kind comments. I'm going to now play a video from the rest of, or members of our editorial team who had thoughts that they wanted to share. After that, the show will wrap, and we will see you next week.
Hello, everybody. I'm Koo Picknell. I'm an editorial contributor and part of This Week in Anime here on the site. So whenever I step back and take a good long look at the anime community, I can't stop thinking of how much it's helped me grow as a person. As you can see, I'm white as the pear-driven snow, and at first glance, I wouldn't blame you for thinking, ah, here we go, another run-of-the-wheel white boy with a narrow point of view. However, my favorite thing about this community is just about how diverse it is. Through our collective love of this medium, I've learned that we're talking about way more than just some silly little cartoons. Like the importance of Piccolo to Black fans who relate with him as the dad who stepped up, or how some trans fans see themselves within Macross Frontier's Alto, or how someone's lived experience can change how they see a certain work entirely. I don't exactly have these kinds of experiences, so it's incredibly important that I soak them in through those kind enough to share them with me, be it a conversation with a friend or an article that runs across my feed. I'm truly grateful that you've all shared this with me, and I'm going to pay it forward as much as I can. Thank you all. I seriously wouldn't trade this community for the world.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Silverman, Associate Editor and Reviewer here at ANN. I've written for ANN since 2011. I think all of us, in one way or another, came to the anime and manga fandom when we needed it. For me, it was Magical Girl Stories that helped me to get through some difficult times, and my love for them continues unabated. From the original Sailor Moon dub, to fansubs of Wedding Peach, to painstakingly trying to read the Japanese version of Phantom Thief Shan, my early encounters with the genre gave me hope and strength. Magical girls don't care what your ideological stance is or whether or not you're aligned with evil. They'll try to help you anyway. And if you don't think you have the strength or the ability to save yourself, they'll help you to find it. I think that's worth remembering right now. It would be easy to draw lines or to say that there's no place for some people in our circle of pop culture, but that's just what we need to push back against. We all have a place here. Even within this limited sphere, Magical Girl fans and fan service fans, BL fans and Shonen Action fans can come together and find something to talk about. With so many things in the world trying to drive us apart, we need to show that we can stick together. I may not be able to transform, but I want to keep this space for everyone. Those are my magic words. I will keep saying them as long as I need to.
Working hard and achieving good grades was something that I always felt like I had to do. But that came at the expense of not being very expressive as a person. I never really had a lot of friends or outlets to have fun. But anime offered me that outlet, even if I didn't know it was called anime at the time. Anime as a medium has probably helped me more than any other artistic medium out there. There were shows that were dumb and exciting, but also shows that hit an emotional core that I didn't think was possible. Anime helped me discover how I wanted to be identified. Anime helped me come to terms with how I see the world. And anime helped me realize that it's okay to cry and feel vulnerable during difficult situations. It showed me that even the most lonely people will find others that will resonate with you and help you accomplish things that you might not have ever thought possible. Eventually, I found my fandom, and I can't imagine a world without them. I started with friends in my local anime club, but now, years later, I ended up working for a news outlet that allows myself and so many other people the opportunity to express themselves both socially and professionally. I will forever be thankful to my bosses and peers for giving me a space to just be me. The world can be very scary right now for a lot of people, and I'm not going to pretend like I even remotely know what the right thing to do is. But I am very thankful to anime for helping me get this far, and my coworkers at Anime News Network for helping uplift someone like me who still sometimes feels like that overworked child that felt like they didn't deserve to have fun. Be safe, everybody, and thank you.
I'm Jackie Jing with Anime News Network, and all are welcome here. We've always been a loving, kind community, and we just want to geek out with others about anime. There is absolutely no room for hate, hostility, or vitriol at Anime News Network. We want you to be unapologetically yourself in a loving and positive way. Our team works incredibly hard to make this a safe space for all. We hope that you feel encouraged and empowered to talk anime with us and spread good.
This is Giancarlo Lemus, freelancer for Anime News Network and current writer of the This Week in Games column. I have a unique relationship with fandom. Growing up, I didn't really have a means to share interests with other people because I lived in a very remote place. As I got older and I went to college and moved back to the United States, I was able to meet more and more people with which I could share my passions. And I was even able to fall in with a group of people, misfits and weirdos, who all similarly liked bad movies and anime and many other delightful things in life. As a writer, I get to see people get excited whenever I make announcements for these kinds of things, because the works that we love, the anime that we love, the comics that we love, the games that we love, these are things born of human experiences that strike a chord with us as people. When you meet someone who similarly that work has struck a chord with, you make a kind of rhythm. It forms a bond between people. There are a lot of anime and manga about being an otaku, and one thing that's clear is that the thing that unites us all is that you're someone who likes something, and that is enough to make you friends. And I like to think that that's the case. You can become very fast friends with someone just because you're both down bad for the same character, or because you're very passionate about the same super obscure series. And I'm saying this not just because I've seen it happen, but because I've lived that experience as well. The beautiful thing about that is that it's not just a matter of being an echo chamber about loving this thing. It's about being able to inspire people and reach out to someone. It's the illustrator who draws a portrait of a character that you love so much that you hang on your wall. It is the fan fiction author who writes a story about the inner turmoils of a character in about to make a massive decision from the show that the show wasn't able to delve into all that much. It's, you know, the video creator who is able to verbalize your feelings about something in a way that you were trying to find but weren't able to. The mechanics of all of this, of the artist, the fan fiction creator, the YouTuber, these open doors for us to continue to affect each other. You can pay the artist money for that poster, and that money can actually help them out a whole bunch. The fan fiction writer, you can leave them compliments, and this will give them motivation. It'll give them peace of mind, the knowledge that, yes, what they do does matter. The YouTuber, too, you can support them monetarily. You can resonate with them. You can see that them at a convention. You can illustrate to them that what they do has a massive, massive impact at the world around them. And that's what it all boils down to. A lot of what you can do can have an impact on the people around you, and you can do so much with just so little. That kind of connection and that kind of power should not be diminished. It shouldn't be forgotten. Fandoms as a community have a potential to do a great deal of good. And it all comes from just a little care. It just comes from asking someone, say, so how are you doing? Don't forget how powerful that can be. And don't forget how much that can help a person when they need it. If there's something that would definitely speak true to the things that we love and to the creators behind them, it would be using fandom as an opportunity to make sure that the rest of us are comfortable and safe. Because what is our community of fans but, you know, another analog for the Straw Hat Pirates and their crew, another analog for a team of Sentai heroes, another analog for the weirdos in daily lives of high school boys just getting into shenanigans. I say this a lot in my column at the end of every column, and I mean it, and I always have, and I always will. Be good to each other. It can take a lot of different forms, but strive to do something good for other people. Thank you for your time.
Hey, I'm Richard Eisenbeiss, Associate Editor and Japan Correspondent here at Anime News Network. Anime has been a huge part of my life for over 30 years now. I love watching, thinking about, and talking about anime. And I love that every single day I get to share my thoughts with you and get to read yours in return, even when they're far different from my own. I just wanted to say, be it anime or anything else, it's okay for you to like the things you like. It's okay for you to be who you are. You are welcome here. Have a good one.
The fandom is the lifeblood of anime. To me, it is its soul, its very being, and exactly what keeps everything in motion. Sure, the industry makes anime, but the fandom is what makes anime magical. Time after time after time again, the fandom has risen to the occasion to show that it's more than just a conclave of nerds. These are people so passionate about what they love that they are willing to devote countless hours, days, weeks, months, years to the craft. Of course, older fans are eager to point out things like Daikon 4 and early anime clubs as definitive examples of the fandom in motion, but the digital era has brought more into the fold. As an extremely online person, one of the most rewarding things about being in the fandom is seeing content creators rise from nothing and share their takes on their favorites. Anime YouTube, with its expansive landscape of analysis, AMVs, podcasts, and parodies, is a prime example, and probably the first place where I saw the true talent of the fandom. But we also have bloggers, artists, musicians, cosplayers, VTubers, you name it, trying to carve a name for themselves and make an impact. Anime News Network, of course, are the big ones on the blog, but we've also had sites like Anime Feminist, Anime Herald, Yadatachi, and OtaQuest be so proudly otaku in their modus operandi as well. We have people who see anime not as escapism, but as cinematic art that can illuminate our reality in ways that reality itself cannot. Of course, I've had my dark moments in the fandom. I had a falling out with friends in college. I had people humiliate me at a convention party. Toxicity will be part of any community, and I'd be lying if I said I never had a crisis of faith. Yet I've learned to take the good with the bad, and along the way, realize all of the joys and passions of being in this community. And that's what will always bring me back into the fold. Between 2015 and 2017, I barely watched anime outside of Dragon Maid and maybe a few parts of ReZero, yet I still went to conventions and meetups and had a blast meeting new and familiar faces. When quarantine hit, Discord saved me from being isolated. It became a bastion of solace as I spent time with other anime fans and creators, some of these conversations going all night long. There are so many ways the fandom has pushed the medium of anime forward, and it hasn't even reached its zenith yet. As we approach uncertain times, one thing is very certain, that I still have an unshakable sense of hope in the fandom and what we can accomplish to make the world a better place.
The ANN After Show is an official podcast of Anime News Network. You can hang out with us live on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and Twitter. Listen to our podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. The ANN After Show is hosted by Lindsay Loveridge and James Beckett and is produced by Lindsay Loveridge.